To. So, Father, will you fill this place with your Holy Spirit this morning? Will you come and will you rest on each of us? And will you let us hear you, and let us hear you whether we hear you in the earthquake, in the wind, in the fire, or in the silence? For Jesus' sake and his glory. Amen. So we're thinking about those encounters with Jesus, and today's one is Through the Roof. If you want to read it, it's in Luke 5, and we've already seen it this morning and heard the story. So the story goes, if you missed it, the story goes, Jesus is in town, and everybody wants to meet him. I don't know if you watched, did anybody watch Britain's Got Talent last night, MDC Britain's Got Talent? Nope. Okay, fine. So I caught a bit of Britain's Got Talent last night. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but at the beginning of it, they show you the judges coming into the theatre or into the studio where it's being filmed. And I watched that last night, and that reminded me of this, because as the judges come from the back of the theatre or the back of the studio all the way to the front, and as they were walking down, the cameras are following them, people are trying to get out to speak to them or to say hello to them, and I thought that must have been a bit like what it was like for Jesus. If you imagine somebody famous coming and people line the streets to look out for them, to try and catch a glimpse of them, to try and see them, to try and be the one that has their selfie taken with them. And I wonder if mobile phones had been around, if there would have been a wheen of selfies on Facebook that day saying, this is me with Jesus at so-and-so's house because he came to town today. But it wasn't. And the story that we've got is that all these people crowded into somebody's house. Now, if it was today, I'm sure that Jesus would be making use of Facebook's live video, and people would be tuning in all over the place to see what was going on. But the place was absolutely packed out with people. This was the place to be if you wanted to be anywhere. This is where it was happening on that particular day. And we know the story and we've seen the story. So this man who is paralyzed and on his mat is with his friends, and it doesn't look like he's going to get to see Jesus because the place is packed. And I suppose I've been thinking a lot about that man in the last couple of weeks and thinking, was meeting Jesus actually on this man's radar? When Jesus was coming to the place that he was in, did the man actually think, how can I get there to see him? Was the man actually looking to go and to meet Jesus? And I don't know whether he was or not. I'm not sure whether he was or not. I'm not sure whether or not this man had been in this state for so long that he had just discounted any possibility that he might actually get to Jesus. Maybe he had. Or maybe this man, with his faith rising in him and the thought of a potential healing, because in fact he'd heard lots about Jesus and that's what he'd heard Jesus do for other people, and maybe with that rising up in him, maybe he pestered the living daylights out of his friends to take him. I don't know. And we can read into it or we can think about it. And do you know, sometimes when we start to look at a passage like that and ask the I wonder what that man was doing questions, sometimes God starts to speak to us in the place that we're in just now. So maybe you're in a place where you're thinking, stuff this, there's no point in me going anywhere. Everybody else gets and I don't. Maybe that's where you are. Or maybe you're in a place where you're like, let me at him. I'm here. I want to find Jesus. I want to go to him. Who can help me get there? And actually it doesn't matter where you are, because Jesus' invitation is to come and to encounter. We heard it, we've sung it this morning. Come to the table. Come if you're thirsty. Come and drink. His invitation is to come and to encounter him, regardless of where our head is with that, whether we think we're worth it or anything else. Was meeting Jesus actually ever on this man's radar, and is it on yours today? So with the help of his friends, this man finds himself face to face with Jesus. And I started to think about that, and I was thinking, do you know, the friends were obviously able-bodied people because they needed to be able-bodied because they needed to take their pal there and they needed to dig through the roof and do all of that stuff. So they were obviously quite fit and quite able to get there themselves. And I was thinking about the fact that in order to get their friend there, they gave up the right to go themselves, didn't they? They were probably fit and able enough that they could have elbowed and jostled and got themselves to the front of the line. And people with the tenacity to dig through a roof of a house to get their pal there are actually quite focused on what they want to do. And so if they'd wanted to get to Jesus, they had the wherewithal for themselves to get what it was that they wanted. You know, the Bible's full of servant-hearted people. The Bible's full of people who give up what they want in order to help somebody else to get what they need. And I think that that's really interesting, that these guys were willing to give up their right to get to Jesus, or their chance of getting to Jesus for whatever it was that they needed, in order to help their friend. And then when you look a bit further on and you look at the result of the encounter with Jesus, the result of the encounter with Jesus is that the man gets up and walks. That's what everybody sees. That's the result of the encounter with Jesus. And I started to think about that. And so when I start to think, you'll notice I just have more questions than answers. So just keep asking questions. And sometimes there'll be an answer comes in that. And I thought, I wonder what the cost was for the man who got up and walked again. Now, that's a funny question to ask, because you think to yourself, what on earth cost would that be? Because the man got what he wanted, but actually there was a cost for the man as he got up and embraced the healing that Jesus was offering him. So this man had lain on this bed for however many years he'd lain there. He couldn't work, couldn't support himself. He had to rely on other people to do that. In a sense, the responsibility that he had in terms of owning his own life wasn't his, because he relied on everybody else. And I started to think about the cost that there was for him in embracing his healing, because actually he now was able to go and to live his own life and to do his own thing. He wasn't reliant on people anymore. And that's one of those double-edged swords, isn't it? It's one of those paradoxes where that's fabulous, let's do that. Oh my goodness, how am I going to do that? That's really scary. And I wondered, as I started to think about it, if that was what was going on for this man here. That in actual fact, with the healing, with the new birth, with the newly resurrected insides that he had, because Jesus had forgiven his sins, I wondered if there was responsibility that the man then had to carry that perhaps he hadn't carried before. The other result of this encounter with Jesus wasn't just in the man. The other result was in the people who were watching, because everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. I wonder if the folks who were watching what had happened with this man had known the man for a long time. You know, said earlier on, if this was today, it would be on Facebook, it would be going up on YouTube, people would be tweeting about it, and the internet would have it trending somewhere along the way. But that didn't happen then. It was a small world, and in that small world, probably everybody knew each other. So maybe the people who were watching actually knew this man. Maybe they knew a bit about the background. Maybe they knew a bit about what he was like. Maybe he was a bit of a cantankerous man, because actually this was a hard place for him to be. Maybe he wasn't. Maybe he was a really happy, joyful man. I don't know. But the people who were there probably knew him. There's something that happens in a community when somebody sees somebody who they've seen a particular way, when somebody sees that encounter with Jesus and sees the change that comes over that person that they've known all their life, there's something really profound that happens in a community when that happens. When somebody who has been involved in a whole pile of stuff over here suddenly starts getting involved with a whole pile of stuff over here, then people start to talk about it. Then there's amazement. Then there are questions asked about who's this guy been with? What's happened to him? And I wonder if that was something that was going to happen. I'm guessing that not everybody in that place was in the house, because I don't think everybody could have got in the house, because it was probably quite a wee house. So maybe some people weren't there. And maybe after it, there was a whole pile of conversations about, did you see that guy? See that guy? That, you know, that guy that lies in his mat outside that place that we pass every day? You know, the guy that needs a help with everything? He's actually picked up his mat and he's walking. Can you imagine the conversations that would have been going on? Who is this Jesus? What on earth has happened here? How do we find out more about it? There's something that happens in the encounter with Jesus and in the product of that encounter, or the result of that encounter with Jesus, that actually starts to make communities ask questions. And I think that's really significant for us here. Again, as I say, all I do is ask questions. I have another question. I want to ask you this morning, where is it that you want to be? Where do you want to be? Because I wonder, this man, if you'd said to him before the healing, you know, do you want to walk? Do you want to be like everybody else? Do you want to not have to live with this disability anymore? I wonder if the man would have said, yeah, that's really what I want. That's really what I want. So if Jesus said to you this morning, what is it you want? Jesus was famous for doing that. Even the most obvious things, probably if you traveled with Jesus and like somebody comes up to him and it's a very obvious what they need and Jesus said, what is it you want? And it's like, come on, Jesus, it's a no-brainer. What do you think he wants? But actually, Jesus says to you this morning, what is it that you want? Where do you want to be? Last week, Stephen said last week, we accept where we are and we don't take the risk to move where Jesus invites us to be. And I think that's really, really important. I think there's invitations going out from Jesus all over the place that says, come and encounter me and come and move from where you are to where I want you to be, because actually where I want you to be is a much better place. And even if you've done that before and you've moved, you know that mountain sometimes we talk about that we climb that gets closer and closer and closer to God? The only person who decides to stop on that mountain is you. So you can get as close to God as you want. You can get as close to the heart of the Lord as you want, but you can also choose where you want to stop. And whether you've encountered Jesus umpteen times or whether you've never encountered him before, the invitation this morning is, come and encounter him. And where is it you want to be? Do you want to stay where you are, or do you want to be even closer to him? Do you want to move over here? Where is Jesus inviting you to be this morning? You see, the crucified and risen Jesus that we've celebrated in communion this morning isn't short on either power or authority. That's what he demonstrates in the healing of this man. He demonstrates the authority to forgive sins, and he has that authority. And he demonstrates the power to be able to take something that looks as if there's no hope and actually make it into something different. He's not lacking in power, and he's not lacking in authority. The same risen, same crucified and risen Jesus that we celebrated in communion this morning is well able to help you to stand up, to pick up whatever it is that you've been lying on, and to walk. So another question. Told you there was lots of them. What keeps you lying down? What stops you from getting up? For the man, it seems to have been a combination for that man of what was going on the inside, because Jesus spoke, first of all, and forgave his sins. That's about the inner world. And the combination of what was going on the inside and the combination with the what was going on the outside in terms of the physical stuff that was going on with him. But what is it that keeps you lying down? Is it what you've done that keeps you lying down? Because if you were to stand up, then somebody might notice what it was you had done, because while you lie down, it's underneath you and nobody can see it. So is it what you've done that keeps you lying down? Is it what other people have said to you that keeps you lying down? Are you wearing a whole pile of labels and carrying a whole pile of stuff that's actually not yours, that somebody else put onto you? Do you stay lying down because somebody said, oh, you'll never amount to anything? Because somebody said, oh, you're really stupid? Because somebody said, what do you mean you couldn't get an O-grade English or an O-grade maths or whatever it is now? Are you lying down because somebody said to you, you're a waste of space, you'll never amount to anything? Are you lying down because somebody said to you, nobody will ever listen to you because you're just a, and you can finish it off? What is it that keeps you lying down? Is it fear of not being enough? Is it fear that if you actually stand up and encounter Jesus and move to where you know in your heart you really want to be, that you might not be enough? Is it fear of being too much? Because if you stand up and take a hold of this, and in actual fact, you know that in that encounter with Jesus, something is going to bubble up inside you and you might be too much for somebody, or you might be too much for everybody else? Or is it the risk of failure? You know, what if I actually get up? What if I hear Jesus saying to me, come and encounter me, come and pick up that thing that you've been lying on and let's walk together? What if you got that wrong? What if it doesn't work out? What if that's not what Jesus said to you? What if there's another disappointment? Is it the what ifs and the risk of failure or the risk of disappointment that keeps you lying down? I've had an interesting experience over the last few months. So probably around about January time, something came up. The details are irrelevant, but something came up and I had the opportunity to do something. And I looked at it and I thought, nah, I don't think so. And then I looked at it again and I thought, I could get quite excited about that. And I did the whole pendulum, to do the pendulum thing of, yep, I'm in, no, I'm not in, no, I don't want to do this, and I'm back over here again. I did that. And then after a few weeks of doing that, I thought, nah, there was something else came along, and I thought, right, okay, that's it. The other thing that came along was much smaller than the first thing, and I thought, that's it, that's the thing. This was a red herring over here, so I'm going to do this. And so I sat with it, and that was it. That was fine. It was all settled, done and dusted, forgotten about the first thing, no problem. And then 2 weeks ago, background came the thing that I had discounted. And do you know that way when something is in your face and you think to yourself, Jesus, are you speaking to me? Or, you know, and it's like everybody else would be saying to you, this is a total no-brainer. It's like the thing of the man on the island who's saying, I called to you for help and you didn't come. And Jesus says, I sent an aeroplane and a boat and whatever else and you didn't notice, kind of thing. And it's like, so I sat with it again and I really, really wrestled with it. And then I spoke to a friend about it, and the friend I spoke to about it is a friend who operates in high challenge rather than high invitation. I operate in high invitation, she operates in high challenge. It's a good combination. And mercifully, I was driving at the time, so it couldn't be too intense. And so she's saying to me, it's a total no-brainer, why would you not do that? And then as I started to try and process it, what came out of my mouth was, because I'm frightened I'm going to be disappointed. I'm frightened I'm going to be disappointed. If I do this, it feels huge, and I'm frightened that I'm going to go and actually it's not going to be what I think it's going to be. It's not going to do what it says in the tin, and I'm going to be really disappointed again. And my friend said to me, and you know when you hear things twice, sometimes you think maybe that is God. So my friend said something to me that somebody else had texted me, and she said to me, why would you not just do it and let God bless you and not worry about what the outcome would be? And I thought, oh my goodness. I was so glad I was driving at the time because I had to keep my eyes on the road. Sometimes that fear of being disappointed, sometimes that fear of maybe it'll not work out the way I hope it's going to work out, stops us from encountering Jesus and saying the yes to the thing that he's asking us to walk with. So what is it that keeps you lying down? And then how are you going to stand up? You know, in terms of standing up, in terms of getting off that thing that we've been lying on for a long time, in terms of doing that, we all need people around us to cheer us on. That's what the man on his mat had. He had a pile of people round about him who were cheering him on to do the thing that actually might have been really difficult for him, and that was just even getting to Jesus. If you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking, I think I would really like to do this. This is what is on my heart. Why would the Lord, A, not give you the desire of your heart? Because that's what he says he'll give you. But I want you to know that we are cheering you on this morning. If the Lord is encouraging you to come and encounter him and to take that mat that you've been lying on for a long time and to pick it up and to start walking, I want you to know that we are cheering you on this morning. The people round your table this morning are cheering you on. Even if you've never met them before, they're cheering you on because they will want to adopt that posture of those friends in the story that say, how can we help you? How can we get you to the place that the Lord is calling you to be? So we all need people to cheer us on, and we are cheering you on this morning. You might need to break through a few ceilings in order to stand up. Sometimes the ceilings that are there that stop us from getting to where we're meant to be are ceilings that we've put in place ourselves because we've said we'll never do that. Sometimes there's ceilings that other people have put in place, and sometimes there's ceilings that our culture has put in place that says, nah, never going to do that. So I wonder what ceiling it is that you might need to break through this morning. When you stand up, and pick up your mat. I reckon that that might feel a bit vulnerable. I'm not sure how that man felt. This is the way everybody had perceived him for years, was the man who lay on his bed and everybody needed to help. It must have felt a bit vulnerable to stand up and pick up his mat. Brené Brown says, vulnerability is the birthplace of innovation, creativity, and change. Sometimes we need to feel vulnerable. Sometimes there's no other way to do it. Sometimes it needs to feel a bit vulnerable to actually put it out there. The other thing that Brené Brown talks about is being in the ring. And she talks about, if you're not willing to be in the ring, then I don't want to hear your criticism about anybody else who's in the ring. There's something about standing up, picking up the thing that's held you back, and moving forward this morning with Jesus. So I want to leave you with the question, what is it that's keeping you lying down? What's stopping you from stepping in to everything that the Lord has for you? Perhaps you've never heard any of this before. Perhaps you're sitting here this morning and you came and you're thinking, what on earth are they talking about in here? The invitation to you is to encounter the Lord for the first time this morning. Come and taste. Come and see that he's good. Come and encounter him for the first time this morning. That mat that you've been lying on, that's the way you've done life up till now, it's time to pick it up. It's time to pick it up, to encounter Jesus, and to do life a different way. If you've encountered Jesus before or encountered him many times or been living a life of faith for a long, long time, then the invitation to you is still the same. And the question is still the same. What's keeping you lying down? What's stopping you from stepping into absolutely everything that the Lord has for you? And what does he want you to do about it? What's he saying to you this morning? I want to encourage you before you go today, if that's speaking to you, to do something about it. Don't go out the door with it speaking to you and think, oh, I'll just forget about it. Maybe I'll think about it through the week. Do something about it this morning. The invitation is to taste and see. The invitation is to come and to encounter. Really happy to pray with folks after the service. And there's folks around who will be happy to pray with you. If you're sitting at a table, there are folks at your table who want to cheer you on. Ask at the table. And if you're sitting at the table today thinking to yourself, actually, I'm really going for it and stepping into the stuff that God has for me, we need you to pray for the people at your table who aren't doing that, because you're carrying something that you could share with them. We want to be a family here who cheer one another on. We want to be a family here who encourage each other to be all that we can be. If God's been speaking to you this morning, then how are you going to know that God's been speaking to you? I want to give you some pointers, because through this, or by now, you are sitting there thinking, when is this going to finish? Can I get out the door without MD speaking to me? That's one way to identify that God's speaking to you. The second way to identify that God's speaking to you is that you're sitting there this morning and that you're getting really angry and you're thinking, I've heard this a million times, I don't want to hear it again, thank you very much. That's another way that God speaks to you. A third way that God speaks to you is that you're sitting there thinking to yourself, I don't want to do anything. I can't move. If I say anything to anybody, I'm going to burst into tears. That's another way to realize that God's speaking to you. And another way to realize that God's speaking to you is that nothing might be happening at all. Because sometimes there's just a knowing in your gut, or a knowing in the deepest part of yourself, that God is inviting you into something today. And if that's you, we would love to pray with you. Let me pray for all of us just now, and then I think the guy's going to come back up and sing a wee bit more. So let me pray for us, and then the invitation is to come. Father, we thank you that you invite us to encounter Jesus. And we thank you, Jesus, that you are the perfect representation of the Father. So, Jesus, we want to encounter you this morning. Holy Spirit, will you come and will you move here and will you point us in the direction of Jesus this morning? Father, I pray that if there's a response that's needed, that you would give us the courage to make that response. And Father, I pray that if there are things that we're lying on, either individually or as a congregation here, that you would show us what they are so that we can stand up and pick them up and walk. Father, we thank you that there is nothing that is too big for you, that there's nothing that's outwith your power or your authority. And we simply invite you to move in that power and authority here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.